guys? How you guys feeling? Good? We need some energy. We're in a small room. Hey man, it's air conditioned, but can you guys bring the energy tonight? No, it's encouraging to be together with the men. It's also encouraging to have new brothers among us. George has got work tonight, but he'll be here next week. And it's just encouraging to be growing. Amen.
Yep.
It's just encouraging to see God adding to our number weekly now, right? Wow. Four baptisms, right, in 1 week. That's super encouraging. Wow. So God is moving, and it's good just to be together as the brothers. And tonight we're going to talk about how we can get our satisfaction in Jesus alone. And that Jesus is more than enough. Turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 3. All right, Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be turning over there in a second. But, you know, like I said before, we're going to be talking about that Jesus is more than enough. And oh my goodness, you step on campus for one day and you see all the things that people are chasing after to get satisfied, right? Whether it be that girl or that guy or doing well in school and academia or just looking, fitting the look of a good college student or a, I don't know, good looking job guy. Like everyone is trying to get satisfied and everyone's chasing after something to go after that. But tonight we're going to talk about how really none of that can bring satisfaction. Maybe temporary, but Jesus is the only one that can satisfy not just our needs and our desires, but that can really give us the righteousness we need to be right with God. We can't do that. He does that. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about how we're not Jesus. She's not Jesus. Only Jesus is Jesus. Amen? That'll make more sense in a second here. But before we jump into Philippians, let's pray together. All right. Father God, it's such a blessing just to have such a strong group of brothers, God, that love your word, that love you, Jesus, and that are fighting every week to get their needs met in you and your scriptures, God. And God, we know that you are the need meter, God. You know, Jesus, your life, you just met needs all day long. And God, help us tonight to see what it is in our hearts, God. And things that we go to that just aren't you. God, help us to see what those things are through your spirit. I really just pray that you move me out of the way tonight and that you just really show us your scriptures and how, man, we just need Jesus. We just need you, God. We love you. Ask that you be with us time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Point number one, you are not Jesus. You are not Jesus. We're going to read verses 1 to 6 here in chapter 3. One of my favorite passages here, verse 1. It says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless." Right? Mm. I'll stop there right now. But Paul here, the one thing I want to point out, he says, is put no confidence in the flesh.
All right.
What he's trying to help these Jews see is it's not about what you do. Nothing you can do is going to make you right before God. Nothing you can do is going to meet that approval that you're looking for from God. And as men, we seek that affirmation.
Yeah.
That, man, you're worth it. You're worthy. You're a man, right? And sometimes we quickly fall into this trap of, I need to do these things for God, and then he'll approve of me.
Yeah.
And once I do A, B, and C, then I will be liked by God because I did this. And Paul's trying to say, I don't care what you've done. Look at me. I know the Bible. I persecuted the church. I am that guy that if anyone's going to be right with God by their actions, I would be that guy. But guess not. Guess what? That's not what I'm leaning on. It's like, that all is the flesh, and that has nothing to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about here is really this idea that it's really just performance Christianity. And it's putting too much stock in what we do rather than who God is. Does it make sense?
Yes, sir.
It's like sometimes we put too much stock in, you know, did I read enough today? Is God pleased with me? You know? And amen, we need to read our Bibles. And amen, we need to share our faith. I think we're clear on that. What I'm talking about is that where you get your identity from?
Come on.
By what you do? Or do you get your identity from how God sees you now, as saved, as holy, and because of that, you go do good works, right?
Right. Come on, Mark.
You know, to kind of simplify, it's kind of two ways you can think about it. One way is, I'll do this, this, and that, and I will be found worthy. My needs will be satisfied. Or, God says, you are worthy, so do this, this, and
that. Right, right, right.
That makes sense?
Come on.
Only in Christianity is the offer up front. In every other religion, it's do this, and you can place membership. Do this, and God will appease you.
Yeah.
God had the plan of the gospel and salvation before he even created the earth. It is not about us, right? So we are not Jesus, right? You know, in Matthew 10, the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus. I know you guys know this passage. And he says, what do I got to do to get to heaven? Right? And Jesus is like, you know the commandments. Don't murder. Honor your father and mother. Mother, don't mother. Don't kill adultery. And he's just like,
don't murder your
mother. What to do, right? But then this guy says, but I've kept all of these since I was a young boy. It's basically, this is a wealthy guy. He's basically saying, look, I've done all these things. And the only time this happens in the Bible, Jesus says to him, he says, he looked at him and loved him. He looked at him and loved him. The reason why is because he's like, man, this guy's falling in the trap. He's trying to do A, B, and C and thinking that that's going to meet the requirements of righteousness. Does that make sense? And he's like, listen, go sell everything you have, serve the poor, connect with your spiritual poverty. That you have nothing that's going to earn you the right to have a relationship. Just go sell everything you have. And you know what happens, right? He goes away sad. Because he was holding on to his wealth,
yep.
What he did. So I just want to encourage you guys tonight.
Wow.
If you're feeling like a lot of your joy during the week and a lot of how you affirm yourself of I'm doing well, amen. If you're reading the Bible and you're doing things during the week, but first and foremost, we got to see that I am nothing without Jesus. Like, without his blood, without
yeah.
his righteousness, without what he's done for me, I got jack squat, right?
Yeah.
I can't do anything. And really, sometimes we become our own Jesus. We become our own Jesus and try to do things rather than, no, I need Jesus, and let me in that be grateful for what he's done for me. And in that gratitude, go and share the gospel. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So that's what I just want to talk about first, and that's what Paul's saying here. It's like we don't put confidence in the flesh; we put it in Jesus, right?
Right.
We don't put that put confidence in the flesh. You know, only the spiritual can fill the spiritual. You're not a body with the soul; you're a soul with the body. Like, we are spiritual creatures, guys,
yeah.
Right? And I think we got to remember that there's some deep longings and desires in our heart that God has placed there, knowing that he's the one that meets them.
Mm.
Right? He's the one that meets them. You're a soul with a body, and so we can't get caught up in the physical things to get our souls satisfied. Does that make sense? We gotta see,
yeah.
What is it about God? Who is Jesus? And how can he satisfy my soul's needs, right? And really these intense desires. And Paul goes on to talk about that here. And Paul goes on to talk about really his victory of now. He's just made it about Jesus, right? Let's read on here. Verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7 to 11 here. It says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, trash, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Wow. What a heart that Paul has. First of all, he says, yeah, all these things I listed off on my kind of righteous resume, all those things that I've done, trash. Trash. Pharisee, trash. Persecuting the church, zealot, trash. In God's eyes, it's just like, I don't care what you do, you need me, right? Yeah. And so Paul rejoices, and he's just like, look, I am just rejoicing the fact that this surpassing greatness that I know Jesus. I have a relationship with Jesus that meets my every need. And not only that, but I have a relationship, and I want to unite in what He went through, right? I want to get my needs met in Him, but then I want to suffer with Him.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I want to suffer with Him, and then He's like, also, I want to die with Him somehow to attain this resurrection from the dead. He's like, I want to just be with Jesus in every aspect because I know He's what I need, right?
Right.
And so Paul's convinced that he doesn't got it, but that Jesus has it. And I think that's why Paul lived such a radical life. Because he wasn't caught up in the world and being pleased in the world. Because he's like, that's got nothing to satisfy me.
Yep.
I have Jesus now, and I'm going to flip this world upside down. Does that make sense? Like, I've got my needs met, and because of that, I'm going to go tell people about how amazing this Jesus is, right? But if we try to get our needs met somewhere else besides Jesus, we're probably not going to be fired up to go and share about Jesus.
Right, right,
because we're not experiencing that joy ourselves.
Right, yeah.
We're not experiencing the joy of suffering with Him, knowing Him, seeing that He's made us holy and blameless in His sight. He's cleansed all of our sin. He's got this plan of salvation for us. When we connect with that, that's when we say, you know what? I don't need that girl. I don't need a relationship. Yeah, it'd be nice, but that's not going to meet my need.
Right.
That's when we say, I don't need that job. I know. Let's just be real. We probably two big things that we go to as men that we think is kind of this idea of once I have that relationship, I'll be okay. Right? Once I'm dating this girl or this sister so-and-so, that will be when I'm just going to feel great. And then you start dating that girl and you realize, actually, she's just human. She's not Jesus, right? And so, not only are you not Jesus, but she's not Jesus. Amen? And we just got to be real about this, guys, that this is not only a battle in the world, but this is a battle when you become a Christian as well.
Yeah.
Amen? And I think sometimes we really put way too much security in stock that, man, that this girl is going to satisfy my needs. Once I can just meet somebody, then I'm going to walk around happy all the time, right? Another thing that you might feel like, man, this is going to satisfy me, is really just your accolades, your how you do in school. And God wants us to do well in school, but He doesn't want us to get our security in that, right? He doesn't want us to get our security and our identity in, well, I'm doing well in school, my teachers are impressed, therefore I'm doing well. Because, amen, you can get straight A's your whole life, that's not going to satisfy your need, right? You can have the best resume in the world, but that's not going to satisfy your heart, right? It could just be that other well-paying job. You feel like, once I get this amount of money, then I'll be at peace. Then I can just kind of chill, right? But Paul's saying here, he's like, all of that, rubbish, compared to knowing Jesus. Amen? All of that is just rubbish. I just want to know Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And just want to share kind of vulnerably with you guys about my battle with this. And this battle has been for 7 years now, ever since becoming a Christian. And, I think sometimes we, uh, I think that sometimes we think we've arrived and we say, you know what, I think I finally have my security in God. I have arrived. And we're good. I have not arrived. You know, for me, as a young Christian, I definitely was very quickly excited at the idea of dating somebody, right? And after 2 years of being a Christian, I ended up dating in high school and very quickly got my security and tried to get my value from this sister, right? You know, if I can just please this sister and we're doing well, then I'm gonna feel good about myself, right? And that went, you know, to college in my freshman year, and then, you know, she broke up with me. There's a lot of things going on, but basically, it exposed both of us that, man, we're putting our security in the wrong thing. And so I had to be like, man, I still got to learn this, and I had to wrestle again, and then this other sister came around and pursued her, and that, then I realized again, you know what, I'm still putting too much stock in this, right? And then another sister came around, and I'm just like, when are you going to get this, man, that these sisters are not Jesus, right? And it took a lot of prayer, it took a lot of just getting advice and just seeing like, dude, you just need first and foremost to be content with God, and God will take care of the rest.
Yeah.
God will take care of that sister for you. He'll take care of that job, and He'll make things work out, right?
Amen.
And, you know, I just want to share that to say, look, we all got something that we're going to for too much satisfaction. That's not Jesus, right? And tonight we're going to talk about and try to really help each other see what are things I'm going to that are really just this lie that maybe we think this is going to meet my need, but it's just not. But we keep going back to it. Porn's one of them, right? That moment of satisfaction, then after you feel like, why did I do that? Right? Why did I look at that? And what we're searching for is that intimacy and really trying to get our needs met from some pornographic image that we know going into it it's not going to do it, but we follow it, right? That might be it for you. It might be just comparing yourself to others, you know? Do the brothers think I'm spiritual? You know, do the brothers think that I'm doing well as a Christian, you know, rather than how does God see me, right? But these are just things that we can think about and we got to be honest about. But, you know, Paul goes on in the scripture to talk about heaven. And we'll close out here, and then I'll just kind of bring it in for a landing here. But let's pick up here in verse 12.
Right, because
at the end of the day, we're looking for heaven, and heaven's the only place where God is, and that's the only place where we're going to really get what we're looking for. But verse 12 says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul's like, look, my life, what I'm aiming for is heaven. You know, there's a quote I read sometime, and it said, if you haven't found what you're looking for in this world, it probably means it's in another world. And that helps me to remember, man, like, this is not heaven. We live in a broken world. And the only place where Jesus is found is in this world is in the church, right? In God's kingdom. And that's where we're going. We're going to be with God in heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you just think about from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, that's where there was peace,
mm-hmm.
and satisfaction. It was Adam and Eve, and it was God. And there was total peace. Why? Because there was no sin yet. Right? There was no knowledge of good and evil. They didn't know what other things they could go to. It was just God is all I need. And I'm gonna live in paradise, right? So we gotta remember in the same way, we're Adam and Eve. We were created for that garden. We were created to be with God, to get our needs met in God. We're created to be with God, right? We weren't made to get our needs met in this world. We're not made for this world,
right?
We're not made for this world. We're made to know Jesus and to know God.
Yep.
And then once we know God, like Paul's saying, look, I know Christ now. And because of that, all these other things that I used to get my stock in, my identity, and all these other things, they're all trash now. Because I know Jesus, and not only that, but I'm going to be with him in heaven. And it's going to be awesome.
Amen?
Amen. So a question, a couple questions that we're going to have a discussion about and split up into groups of two or three, Rob?
Sure.
Groups of two or three. One question is, what is something in your life right now that you're not letting Jesus take the role of satisfying? Right? What's something that you're going to besides Jesus that you're trying to go to get your needs met? And I threw out some examples before, but think about what that might be. And the second question is, what would it look like, say you wake up tomorrow, what would it look like for you to live a life and you are satisfied by Jesus? And you've had your needs met in Jesus. What would that look like? How would that change your life? Just to kind of illustrate that, when we are getting our needs met in Jesus, we're free. We're free to love people without any limits, right? We're free to invest in people without any limits. You know, when we're really getting our needs met in Jesus, we're going to have some great quiet times. We're going to have our minds blown by his love. When we're getting our needs met in Jesus, we're going to go share our faith. We're going to tell people about Jesus and say, I've got to tell you about what he's done for me, what he's done in my life. You need to know him. What you're looking for is Jesus, right? When we're getting our needs met in Jesus, we're probably not going to be so wrapped up in that cistern. Or, hey, does she like me? Does she not like me? Because we're like, look, I'm good with knowing God. And if she likes me, great. But if she doesn't, I'm going to be good too, right? So those are just some things to think about. But I want to encourage you guys tonight to think about that. Is Jesus alone enough for me? Or am I still going to other things? Right? Just to think about that. So that's what I got for you guys tonight. And right now we're going to split up into groups of two or three. So they do like within their Bible talk?
Whatever.
Whatever you want to do. So we're going to split up for
15 minutes
and talk about those two questions that I put out there. All right? Sound good?
Good job, Mark.